Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man, contributing editor, checkbook.org. The nonprofit that rates all types of businesses in the Chicagoland area. He is also the host of their new Consumerpedia podcast. Hey, Herb, how you doing?
Well, John, you found the breaking news sounder. That was great.
Actually, you know what that is? Now that I've got my back myself
it's
into the corner.
It's labeled Armageddon when the world comes to an end. That's what Brendan hits.
That is actually, oh, gosh. Is it labeled Gilded Age? The Gilded Age. It was a series that ran on one of the streaming services, and I just thought the music was really cool. That's all. But it does. Doesn't it sound like? If I say it's breaking news, and that's what it sounds like. If I said it was, you know, the weather, then it would be about the weather. But no, this is about consumer news, and I have got a couple of articles here from you that really. They both really grab my attention when it comes to credit bureaus and medical debt. Can you take it away, Herb? Because this is something I think that a lot of people can relate to.
And it's a really important story. You know, when you hear about news stories about medical, about debt, you always hear about student loan debt, right? Well, this is medical debt. And it's a different kind of debt because you can't control it. I mean, nobody plans to break their arm or have a heart attack or, you know, come down with COVID or whatever. So these are staggering bills that people have. They got even worse during the pandemic. The last figure that we have, accurate figure, is from the Census Bureau. That was in 2017. About 1 in 5 adults received a medical bill they couldn't pay. Again, I think that's much worse because of what's happening with the pandemic. Mm. And as you know, John, if the bills go to collection, as they often do, the information winds up in the patient's credit file. That reduces their access to credit, makes it harder to rent an apartment or buy a home or even get a job. So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, under the new director, Rohit Chopra, has been stirring the pot a little bit to just sort of help the little guy as much as they possibly can. And they came out with a report recently that took a look at the medical debt in the United States. And they found that as of June 2021, Americans had $88 billion in medical debt reported on their consumer credit records. $88 billion. That's not medical debt. That's medical debt that went to collection. I mean, imagine how much other medical debt there is. They represented more than half, 58% of the debt in collection recorded to the credit bureaus in the second quarter of 2021. And they actually, and this is a quote, medical debt has been linked to adverse physical and mental health outcomes. Four in 10 Americans say they're more afraid of medical debt than a serious illness. I mean, you know, it's a and as with all of these financial things, blacks and Hispanics and low income and younger adults are more likely to have this situation. So what they said at the bottom of this report was they said, you know, we're going to have to start looking into this a little bit more seriously and maybe come up with some regulations, quote, whether policy should be implemented to eliminate unpaid medical billing data on credit reports altogether. And John, lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, voluntarily, the three major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion said, you know what, we're going to voluntarily change how medical debt is reported. Isn't that astounding how that works sometimes?
Yes, it is. And you know what? Maybe I'm revealing too much information about my own personal situations, but I'll tell you that a few years ago, I suddenly received a bill for $15,000 from a hospital. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I have this coverage. And they said, well, it was a credit. It was a debt collector. And I'm like, and they're like, how would you like to pay for it? And I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, just assuming that I'm going to come up with $15,000. And I played along and I'm like, well, let me check. I'll get back to you in a couple of days, blah, 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 which I did. And I was sort of accepting it at face value. And then it occurred to me, wait a minute, I'm going to call the hospital. So I call the hospital. I get into their billing, operator, and we talk about it for a little bit. And she goes, let me investigate this. This isn't right. And it all went away. So, I mean, just because I took the extra time to check it out because it was just too much. But the, you know, when you get it, God forbid this happens to anybody, but when you get a call from a collection agency, it's not a pleasant experience. Let's just put it that way.
And don't respond immediately. Do what you did. And you need to say, they, by law, they have to give you, tell me what I owe and to whom. Send me information. And they have to send that to you. But the problem is if they sent this to collection, even by mistake, right now that's going to drag down your credit score.
Oh, yeah, but, absolutely. You
know, yeah.
Absolutely.
But here's what they agreed to do because of what you experienced. So first of all, unpaid medical debt is no longer going to be reported after it's repaid, so it won't drag down your credit score for years and years. You know, people would have these bills, it would go to collection, they'd pay it off, it would stay in their file for 7 years. Well, that's
right.
So that's going to stop now. As of July 1st, medical debt won't show up for 12 months rather than 6 months as it used to be. Again, that's because all this back and forth and finger pointing between the medical institutions and the insurance, and it goes round and round. You're the consumer caught in the middle. So there's now a year to sort of try to figure that out. And then by next year, mid next year, medical debt of less than $500 won't even be included in the credit reports from Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. So I think that's a big step forward. It's voluntary, but I think they know that the federal regulator is watching them and that this is probably here to stay.
Well, you know, when you said medical debt has been linked to adverse physical and mental health outcomes, of course it has. I don't need to be a doctor or a rocket scientist to know that unbelievable stress on an individual causes physical and mental health outcomes. I mean, it affects you physically and mentally. The pressure is horrible. You can never, it feels like a dark cloud is following you around everywhere. I know because I'm speaking from experience. And in the world we live in now, I think there's more stress in individuals and families with finances now than ever before. And anything that can be done to alleviate the stress from these bills and collectors, you know, is a step really in the right direction because it's like, you know, it's stressful. What can I say?
And if I could just, can I just leave one tip before we go to commercial break? Because first of all, if you were in the situation we were talking about, that you had a medical debt and it was paid off, it should not no longer be reported on your credit report. Check.
Right.
Go to annualcreditreport.com and make sure it's been taken off all three of your credit files, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. If it's not, then you need to talk to them about that. And if you are experiencing medical debt right now, you came out of the hospital, whatever, have a bill, do one of two things. Either contact the hospital and ask them if they have a payment plan before you put it on a credit card. Most hospitals will work something out with you. If it's a nonprofit hospital, they have to. And I found in family situations, we had one where it was a big bill for a brain surgery. It was paid over time and there was no interest. So talk to them about that before you reach for a credit card, a bill you couldn't pay. And there are nonprofit credit counselors who can work with you if it's something it's more extensive and you need to deal with. All the links to all that stuff are in my story on checkbook.org.
All right, more with Herb Weisbaum when we come back on 720 WGN. Once again, Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man, contributing editor at checkbook.org, a nonprofit that rates all types of businesses in the Chicagoland area, host of their new Consumerpedia podcast. We have calls at 312-981-7200. Let's go to Lake Zurich. Robin, do you have a question for Herb Weisbaum? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Robin, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Herb?
I do. I just was checking my credit scores recently and discovered that my medical debt with the collection agency of almost $5,000 had been removed from each credit report and it's not paid for. I've been paying them a set amount every month for 2 years.
Yeah.
And it just disappeared. No explanation.
Now, wait a minute. It disappeared from the credit report or they stopped asking you for money?
Oh, no, no. I pay them religiously, but it just disappeared from the three credit reports.
Is that
and
the
again,
result
no
of what
explanation.
Well, I don't know. You might have just been lucky because it shouldn't be removed until you pay the whole thing off. But maybe you just lucked out. So that's great. So that means that your credit score should bounce up a little bit.
All
I
right.
wouldn't I wouldn't argue with it when the system works in your favor.
Hey, that sounds fine. Hey, guess what? It's gone from my credit report. Thank you very much. Not going to ask why.
But you know what? I would just check back again. And, you know, you can check for free every week now because of the pandemic. It used to be once every 12 months for free. Go to annualcreditreport.com in a month and check and make sure it's still off. Just to, you know, make sure you know what's going on with your credit report.
Well, thanks for listening and thanks for the call, Robin. So it's 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker. Now, this is a topic that everybody has to face sooner or later, but nobody wants to. And you've got a great article about it. As much as this topic can be great, it's funeral prices. Yep. Consumer advocates and what they're urging the FTC to require. Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, you know, death and taxes, two things that are always going to happen to us. And, you know, we don't want to think about it, and I don't want to be crass, but buying a funeral is a purchase. It's a consumer purchase.
Sure.
And we don't think of it this way, but the nice funeral director, it's their job to try to get as much money out of you as possible. That's how they make a living. They may not have your best interests in mind. As I learned at a very young age when my father passed away at 59 years old, and my brother and I had to plan a funeral, the first ones in the family that had to deal with it, and basically got taken to the cleaner and convinced to spend all this money that we really didn't want to spend. So I know how that works. So the point of the story, first of all, is to explain to people that prices vary from funeral home to funeral home. When checkbook undercover shoppers did undercover shopping for a specific service like embalming or the cost of a hearse, the prices ranged from 300 to 500% between funeral home to funeral home in the same metro area for the same services. Yeah. So I'll just give you one example. The least expensive oak casket, the price ranged from $1,000 to $5,000. We want the least expensive casket you have. And by the way, your listeners should know, you don't have to buy the casket from the funeral home. You can order it. Costco sells caskets. They'll be shipped within 24 hours. You're not required to buy the casket from the funeral home. So it is a consumer purchase, and some people, you know, this could break the bank. They just have to watch. Well, one of the ways you can be a good consumer, John, as you know, is nowadays you can shop on the web. You can look at prices, compare, and do all that kind of stuff. It's not easy to do when the prices aren't posted. So the Consumer Federation of America and the Funeral Consumers Alliance, a consumer advocacy group that's a nationwide for funeral rights, did a survey of 35 state capitals and the funeral homes, the 1,046 funeral homes, their websites in those 35 state capitals, and found that only 109 of those homes, 18%, posted their general price list, which means there is no way for you to price shop if you have to in a rush to find out what the funeral home charges. By law, they're required to give you the full price list if you show up, which might not be convenient if you're planning a funeral as we were. My father died when we were in Hawaii, and we had to come back and fly 24 hours straight home to Philadelphia. Some will give you some prices by email. Some will give you some prices if you call. But the consumer advocates are pushing the Federal Trade Commission to require the funeral homes to publish their price list, which they are required to give you in person in this internet age that we live in. The funeral homes say, we really don't want to do that. The ones who want to do it, do it. We'd rather have you come in and talk to us. And again, the consumer advocates are saying, you know, this is just a situation where in the age we live in, you should be required to post your prices. You know, if it says a hearse is a hearse, you don't have to explain to me whether it's got silk lining or black doors or whatever it is. I can start out and maybe comparison shop and see which one of the funeral homes in my area I might want to go to. So that's the point of this whole story, that they're really trying to press the the Federal Trade Commission to do this. The average funeral is in this country, by the way?
No.
$7,800, according to the National Funeral Directors Association. A cremation is $69,000, so $7,000. And that doesn't include the flowers, the cemetery costs, the price of the grave marker. That's just your basic funeral. I mean, $10,000-$20,000 is not out of the ballpark if you're really planning a funeral with a whole lot of people. That's just too much for some people. They want to hold down the line on costs.
You know, the thought that runs through my head, as you said, in the age that we live in, where you can basically shop for anything online and find out the cost of just about anything that you're interested in, whether it's clothing, whether it's equipment for the, you know, lawnmowers or whatever, all you got to do is go on, even prescriptions. You can go online and shop around and see what it is. What is the hesitancy on the part of the funeral people, of the whatever association it is that's balking at putting these prices up on the internet on a website that would be associated with their funeral home.
It's not an association. It's individual funeral homes are basically making the decision not to do this. And most Americans, 75%, according to an Ipsos poll, said that they would like to see this posted. A skeptic might say they'd prefer to get you in the door and be able to show you all their merchandise like a car dealer, because that way they could possibly make more money. But they're basically saying they can provide you better services if they do it that way. I think in this day and age, that kind of situation, if it's a comparable, if it's a, you know, funeral service versus a funeral service, a hearse versus a hearse, a coffin, whatever specific, whatever it is, you know, it should be something, at least give you a reference point where you can start. And I got to tell you, we talked to this guy, Josh Slocum. He's with the Consumer Funeral Alliance, and he is an amazing consumer advocate. Excuse me, it's the Funeral Consumers Alliance, the FCA. Mm-hmm. We did a whole podcast with them with Consumerpedia. And it's if you go to the website, it's with this story about the funeral homes posting their prices. This guy really tells it like it is. I mean, he says, people, there is nothing embarrassing or wrong with saying to a funeral home, I got a budget and I got to live within this budget. He says, you know, money and love are not linked together. I was very impressed with what this guy has to say, and also about maybe sharing your wishes with your family. So, for instance, my mother, before she passed away, told us she wanted the Jewish tradition of a pine box and a shroud, where my father never talked about it. So we spent $6,000 on a cherry coffin with brass railings because we were told that's what people would want to see in the sanctuary. You know, the one situation that I told you we got taken to the cleaners, and the other situation where we knew exactly what to do because mom had taken the time to talk to us. Very important to just maybe have simple talks with your family and let them know what you want to do, because it's going to happen, hopefully later, but it's going to happen.
Herb, thank you once again for being with us. You always have a lot of great information to impart. That's Herb Weisbaum, the Consumer Man.